Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and it's Thursday, which means it is Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Dr. Shannon Kroger is, or Kroner rather, is our author today, a doctorate in clinical psychology, a master's in special education, and a bachelor's in English literature. And her book, Let's Be Critical Thinkers, critically thinking about masks, lockdown, social distancing, and vaccines. And this is a book really written with young people in mind, but the timing could not be any more perfect, unfortunately, given the reaction we've seen so many people regarding the recommendations coming out of the White House regarding Tylenol and what appears by many to be the non-thinking reaction of, well, if Donald Trump or RFK Jr. says it, then we don't need to think about it whatsoever. They must be wrong. To the point we've seen numerous pregnant mothers, apparently, taking Tylenol, I guess just to stick it to them somehow. And so that, to me, is a complete lack of any sort of critical thinking. But the author, Dr. Shannon Kroner, of the book Let's Be Critical Thinkers, with us. And I really appreciate you being with us. And if we could start, I want to talk about the Tylenol thing in a moment. But what motivated you to write the book first?
Thanks so much for having me on today. My first book is also a children's book. It's called I'm Unvaccinated and That's Okay. And that kind of came out a few years ago. And then this kind of just naturally followed because the pandemic was over. And I just felt that, you know, children, we don't teach critical thinking skills that often in school anymore. And so, you know, and so many children, they were bullied throughout the pandemic. They were bullied by family, peers, teachers about, you know, getting vaccinated, wearing a mask, social distancing. And I just felt that I really needed to give them a book to help empower them and help them know what it means to be a critical thinker and how to critically think about the world around them, how to recognize and spot propaganda, you know, what propaganda is, and then especially the importance of informed consent. We saw, you know, zero informed consent throughout the pandemic. And what's really interesting is that the book is it's a children's book. So there's really beautifully illustrated pictures in it. And it's really a great snapshot of everything we really all went through during the pandemic. The people that I've shown the book to, they kind of say like, wow, it's a really great capture of history. So it's almost like a history book. And it's almost unrealistic that we went through these things of showing a vaccine card to get into a restaurant or like having to wear a mask to walk in somewhere. And then once you sit down, you could take it off because somehow, you know, miraculously germs don't affect right. you if you're sitting down while drinking a drink. So I've had all of that illustrated in this book. And then it's got cute like coloring pages and fun things for like activities for kids to do. But, and you know, again, it's really meant to just really empower children.
Well, let me ask you, you mentioned here the ability to differentiate between, you know, information versus just straight up propaganda. And I've noticed that a weapon oftentimes those who promote propaganda use is just to accuse the critical thinkers of spreading propaganda. So how do you, particularly with young people, but I guess adults as well, differentiate between what is legitimate information versus propaganda? What is it you look for?
Well, so for instance, in my book, I've really explained how there are motives behind certain propaganda to get a message across, and that people need to critically think about what that message is and then do the research and always look at both sides of the situation and also see like what's really behind that. Is there a financial effort behind that messaging? And who's to gain from the messaging? And so I really kind of explain that in the book about, you know, how you have to really kind of do your own research, ask all the different questions, who's behind it, what, when, where, how, why, all these different things. and really teach children kind of, you know, think for themselves, but ask questions and to really just, you know, be confident in the questions that they ask. Because children today, if they're, you know, in class, in a classroom, and the teacher is telling them that this is the way something happened, or these are the facts, I want to encourage children to, you know, raise their hand and ask questions, or, you know, oppose whatever the, what may sound incorrect to them, and be open for debate. I think that debate is so important. And we just, you know, unfortunately we saw the death of Charlie Kirk, who really welcomed debate of both sides. And it shouldn't, we shouldn't, nobody should be able to kill someone over a difference of an opinion. So I really want to like encourage children to really kind of know how to hold, stand their ground and look at all options, look at all sides, and be able to speak on what makes sense to them.
We're talking with our author of the week, Dr. Shannon Croner. Let's Be Critical Thinkers is the book geared towards the younger audience. That willingness and confidence to ask questions. How I think a lot of times parents and maybe even kids, you know, it can be intimidating. You worry about maybe getting in trouble. But also sometimes there's a fine line between seeming as if you're being disrespectful and just, you know, challenging for the sake of it versus that genuine curiosity that is instrumental with critical thinking. How is it that you best raise that respectful question asker as opposed to somebody that's just being a troublemaker in class?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. You know, so I'm a mom, and I will tell you that with my children, I am always asking them questions about the world around them. And so, especially during the pandemic, we would see somebody who's maybe driving alone in their car wearing a mask. And I would point out to my kids, like, what do you think that they're doing that for? Or what are they scared of? Or does it make sense? Let's think about this. You know, or, you know, if we saw certain billboards and things like that, you know, I would always kind of just ask them the questions so that they became comfortable with asking questions.
Yeah, no, I think that is a fantastic approach. Let's talk about the whole Tylenol debate, I guess, if you will, the sort of thing that any other administration, it might be somewhat newsworthy because of the focus on autism, but there certainly would not be this hysterical reaction. I mean, every over-the-counter drug has a list of warning labels so long you can't even read them. You usually have to peel back the label to get the other side to continue to see all the different warnings. And even when it came to the COVID vaccines, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but it seems to me as if whether it's vaccines or over-the-counter drugs, these are things we're putting in our body to get our body to react differently than it is. And so you can oftentimes have unintended side effects occur with it. Yet you've got this attitude, particularly with now Tylenol, as if this is the most absurd notion ever. And I, you know, even if one, you know, they listen to information or read the studies and still aren't necessarily sold on a belief about the ties to autism, I can understand that, but it's beyond me this approach that, well, it's just absurd to believe that there could be any sort of side effect. Now, to me, that just seems like a real lack of critical thinking, even common sense. So in this context of the critical thinking, how do you see all of this between those who are acting as if this recommendation from the White House is insanity versus what it is that we're hearing from those who say, no, there's some studies that show that there may be something there?
Yeah, so, you know, you bring up a really great point about how those who are retaliating against President Trump are really just, there is no critical thinking skills happening in that moment, especially with the women. It's driving me crazy, actually, to see these women who are very, you know, pregnant, who are just angry with Trump. They've got this Trump derangement syndrome, and so they're just popping Tylenol pills. You know, being pregnant is such a beautiful gift. Why even risk the health of your, precious baby and your own health just to prove President Trump that he's wrong. And the fact is, if they were to do some critical thinking about what President Trump was saying, I'm going to break it down really easily of why Tylenol can cause problems. So our body, every single cell in our body, we have something called glutathione. It is the master antioxidant. It neutralizes free radicals. It helps detoxify our bodies from toxins. And most importantly, it helps support immune health. So the more glutathione we have in our body, the better our immune system is. What Tylenol or acetaminophen does is it, when it metabolizes in the body, when someone takes Tylenol, it will then deplete the glutathione that we have in our body. It will deplete the body's natural way of getting rid of toxins. And that's science. That's fact. It's science. Anybody could look that up. So what's happening is that, for instance, when President Trump was saying to, don't give Tylenol, and especially don't give it when your baby's had vaccines. Well, when you give a child vaccines, because every doctor will tell parents to prevent fussiness after vaccines, give Tylenol, or to, if there's a low grade fever after vaccines, give Tylenol. And so what that's doing, though, is that when a child gets vaccinated, whether it's one vaccine or three vaccines or five, each one of those vaccines, they definitely have toxins in them. They have aluminum, formaldehyde, polysorbate. They've got a whole bunch of other stuff in them. And when you inject that into the body, your body is going to naturally want to fight all those different substances that were just injected, because they're foreign. They're foreign substances in the body. And so when your body fights, you may get a fever. And so what you're doing when you introduce Tylenol is you are suppressing the body's ability to fight detoxing from those, foreign entities. And so really, you don't want to suppress a low-grade fever. Low-grade fevers are also, they're not dangerous. And there's easy ways to also break a fever with, a compress or a bath. But what you're doing when you introduce Tylenol is that, or let's say sometimes people will give Tylenol before a vaccine, you're already depleting the glutathione, which is the body's natural way of detoxing. And you don't want these things. You don't want aluminum floating around in your body, because then it can pass the blood-brain barrier. It could cause inflammation in your organs. It can cause brain inflammation. It can cause liver damage to have, too much Tylenol. So that's the real easy way to understand what's happening and why Tylenol, is just not it.
Right.
It could pose a danger.
Now, that aspect of it that you've explained, is it believed that potentially that has some sort of association with autism? Or are you talking about, this is a whole nother reason not to give kids Tylenol?
So I think that there are many reasons. There are many environmental reasons that contribute to the increase in autism. But I believe this is definitely one of them, because if, you're giving your child so many vaccines and then you're introducing Tylenol on top of that, and they're not able to detox from all those different vaccines, and then it crosses the blood-brain barrier, it's causing inflammation. Because what we often see with autism is that, let me just say my background, I've worked with kids with special needs since 2001. I have a majority of the kids that I've worked with have autism or ADHD. And I've always heard the same exact story from every different kid family that I've worked with. It's always, my child was fine. My child was meeting the certain milestones that they needed. My pregnancy was fine. Labor was fine. After a round of shots, something changed. And so what I believe it, you know, a big factor in the increase of autism is that when they're given so many vaccines and there's a, you know, normal reaction to the body to want to fight that, if there's no way to get those toxins out of the body, they're going to kind of get lodged in the brain and cause inflammation. If a brain gets inflamed, that could then lead to actual brain damage. And then, you know, autism is not something where if you give a vaccine the next day, your reaction is autism. Autism, it's a spectrum disorder. It's diagnosed by having different behaviors, you know, sensitivity to sound, sensitivity to light, sensitivity to foods, loss of speech, tiptoe walking, not making eye contact. There's a lot of different factors that come into an autism diagnosis. And that diagnosis usually takes time. So you're not going to just see a child get vaccinated and the next day they have full-blown autism. It's usually, you know, takes a while because they've gotten vaccinated and now after, you know, a period of time, their brain is inflamed or now they have seizures. And ultimately, it's causing something to go on in the brain that then eventually causes these, you know, delays to happen and milestones not to be met. And then comes an autism diagnosis.
And then last question for our author of the week, Dr. Shannon Croner. The book is Let's Be Critical Thinkers. And then any final thoughts you have. Yeah, we hear so much about the vaccines and the toxins, and I don't know that I've ever heard the question asked, and maybe because it's an obvious one, that just escapes me. Why are those toxins in vaccines? What purpose do they serve?
Well, they actually do serve to cause the body to react. So for instance, aluminum. Aluminum is put in vaccines so that when a pathogen is then injected into the body, your body then kind of ramps up to fight it.
Okay.
And then that's the reason why they put these adjuvants into the vaccine so that your body is meant to have an immune response. And by having that immune response, it will help you to, you know, then become immune to certain, you know, different kind of pathogens that are in the vaccines. And so that's why there are. And then there's also a bunch of fillers, there's stabilizers, there's a lot of different things there's like bleaches and stabilizers for the, and preservatives. There's a lot of different preservatives to keep the vaccines having a longer shelf life. And that's what we see in all the kind of different foods on our shelves that have high preservatives. They'll last forever. You know, look at like Twinkies. They last forever.
Yeah.
So they're full of preservatives. So, but yeah, that's why.
All right. Well, I knew there probably had to be some. That makes sense when it's broken down, explained that way. Any final thoughts you have today for people listening?
You know, my takeaway from whenever I'm speaking to the public is really, I don't want people to just go do what I say. I want you to do your own research. Doing your own research is so important, and coming up with your own, you know, decisions based on your own research. That way you feel that you've been informed, and really kind of look into what I'm saying. And I always welcome people, you know, try and prove me wrong, because if you're going to try and prove me wrong, that means you have to go and do the research for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's really what, you know, my message is really for all your listeners, go do your own research, become informed before you have, you know, this knee-jerk reaction to just hate President Trump because he's telling people don't take Tylenol. And so people are running out and going and popping, you know, 10 Tylenols. Do the research first and see what he's even basing his, what he's saying that on.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of research. Let me just say there's research going back to 2008. There's a study from 2008 that actually shows that acetaminophen use after the MMR vaccine is actually linked to a higher risk of autism. And that's from 2008. So he's not just kind of pulling this out of the air.
Our author of the week, Dr. Shannon Croner. The book, again, Let's Be Critical Thinkers, perfect for your kids. And, of course, a huge thank you to ABC Books on North Glenstone, always sponsoring our author of the week. For Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.